All right, so Psalm 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. And I want you to picture this in your head. It is highly symbolic language here. Okay, it's going to describe God in ways that we need to get the general picture of what it's talking about. And of course, not take these things literally. But this is the psalmist's way of expressing an incredible idea here. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemy. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Okay, so far, this is something we've all been through, right? We've been in those moments, maybe some of you are even going through them now, where you're just in distress. You feel like, you just feel like you're entangled in troubles and sorrows and people mistreating you, whatever it may be, and you're crying out to the Lord, and the psalmist assures us that God hears our cry. Continuing with verse 7, here is God's response to the psalmist's cry, and it's incredible. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Why was God angry? Because people are coming against me. Because of my enemies, God is angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. I mean, this is highly symbolic. Does God ride on a cherub? Of course, God doesn't ride on a cherub. But it's giving us a picture of this God, of God, coming to our rescue in a phenomenal way here, so that even the earth itself shakes because God is coming to the psalmist's rescue. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. This is phenomenal stuff, isn't it?
Mighty God.
Mighty God, right. And it's not always... We don't see it all the time right away. You know, as I've said before, sometimes the rescue of God, he lets us go through that stuff for a while because we need to mature, we need to learn to grow in him, whatever the case may be. But in the end, God is angry with those who persecute his children. And this is a wonderful part of our understanding. I'm going to use the word theology, although sometimes that's not the greatest word to use because we think academic or scholarly or whatever. But this is a great part of our understanding of God, is him being for us and him being our rescuer. And we memorize verses that have to do with this understanding of God coming to our rescue. For example, everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. and different translations will translate this different ways. Begotten is actually not a good way to translate the Greek there, as the more modern version show, but that he gave his one and only son, or his only unique son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So same thing, God's coming into the world to rescue us. And this is an important part of our understanding of our relationship with God. But we need to balance this out as well. I would like to read a few verses from today's Haftorah portion, Isaiah 43, verses 22 through 25. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You have not bought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Okay, God is still the rescuer, but wait a second. This strikes us sometimes as a little hard to take. For his own sake, he's forgiving me for his own sake. I thought God did it out of love. I thought God did it because I am so precious and so valuable in his sight. And yes, you are. But we have got to have a balanced understanding of our relationship with God here. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, right? For the glory of the Lord, so that the Lord might be glorified. Okay? And why does the Lord want to be glorified? Of course, to draw more people unto him, and so that things are in the proper order and things like that. But it's this order that sometimes we miss out on. When we emphasize all the time, God does this for me, God does that for me, God did that for me, for us, and we lose the part of the relationship that centers in on God and for the sake of God and simply because he is worthy, then we become a little egocentric, a little self-centered in our spirituality, and we need to balance this out. I'd like to read a couple verses that will help us to do that. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Yeshua says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." A couple chapters earlier, Matthew 8, 21 through 22. Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first..." somebody willing to follow him. He says, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father before I'll come follow you." Yeshua said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." It sounds harsh. People use that sometimes to criticize Yeshua. This sounds harsh. Can he go bury his father? Well, if his father was dead, he wouldn't have been there with Yeshua. He means, let me go until my father passes away, maybe collect the inheritance, bury him, and then Yeshua say, no, I am more important than that. I am more important than that. I am more important than your father, than your mother, than your son, than your daughter. If Yeshua is just a prophet, or just a great rabbi, this is harsh, and this doesn't make sense. But if he is the manifestation of God in our midst, then by honoring him above father and mother, we are obeying the first commandment, to have no other gods before him, right? And so we need a theology. We need a relationship with God in which we remember that we are not the center of that relationship, but God is the center of that relationship. Yes, do we receive wonderful things from him? Of course we do. Of course we do. But if it becomes that, then we start to lose heart when God doesn't act the way we want or do things the way we want or in our timing. And it's like, God, I made my will known to you. Why aren't you following through? Okay, and instead of, God, what is your will for me, right? I want to honor you, not to get, not to receive, but I want to honor you because you are worthy of it, because you are the center, God, of my life. You are the center of everything that I am about, and you are worthy. And we de-emphasize God when we emphasize ourselves too much. God, come to my rescue. God, come to me. Yes, God wants us to call on him to come to our rescue. He wants that. That's, like I said earlier, that's an important part of this idea of our relationship with God. But we're not the center. We are not the center of that relationship. We are not the center of our own focus. God needs to be the center of that focus. Okay? And I want to look now at today's Torah portion a little bit. Vayikra, the book of Leviticus. And chapter 1 talks about bringing to God a blameless, a perfect sacrifice, right? Don't bring me your speckled, spotted, lame animals. You bring me the best, okay? And then here in chapter 1, verse 14 through 17, are directions on bringing a bird for a sacrifice. And presumably, based on other scriptures, this is for the more poor amongst the Israelites. Okay, they couldn't afford a lamb or a goat. They bring a bird. God will accept that. That's fine. That's good. Okay. So, but what does it say here? If his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or pigeons. And the priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall remove its crop with its contents and cast it beside the altar on the east side in the place for ashes. He shall tear it open by its wings, but shall not sever it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. A little graphic there. But I want us to get this picture here of what belongs on the altar and what belongs in the ash heap beside the altar. The crop and its, what did it say in this translation? Its crop and its contents, right? And commentators are not 100% sure what that means. A lot of them say it means the feathers and the feces, right? Things that don't belong on the altar, put them over there on the ash heap. And the problem is when we make ourselves the focus of our lives, what ends up being on the altar is the stuff that belongs on the ash heap, right? The dung and the feathers, we put that on the altar. Here, Lord, take this. I said 5 minutes of prayers today. Aren't you proud of me, Lord? Now, Lord God, I want this and this. And we put on the altar, instead of the best of ourselves and the best of our lives and the unblemished animals, we put the other stuff there. And we keep the bird for ourselves, right? We cannot allow ourselves to say anything such as, well, I would pray or I would go to the prayer meeting, but it's a little boring. That is putting ourselves first, right? That God, I need to be entertained here. Rather than, God, I'm going to go to that prayer meeting or I'm going to go into my prayer closet because you are worthy of it. And you deserve my praises, and you deserve me interceding there for my congregation and family. And Lord God, I'm going to give you the bird, right? I'm not going to shame you by putting the dung and the feces and the feathers on that altar. Lord God, I'm giving you my best. I'm giving you the first fruits, not the leftovers. I'm giving you the good animals, not the blind and the lame, right? Lord God, you are calling me to put a little more money in the tzedakah box, perhaps. Okay? Now, what is our rule on that? I encourage people to give 10%. Some people say it's an absolute commandment. You have to give 10%. It does seem to be a common theme in the Bible, 10% of this, 10% of that, bring to the temple. Whether we can apply that 100% to today's congregations or not, I'm going to leave up to you, right? But here's what you do. When you get that money, you say, Lord God, this is a gift from you. I want to give you the first fruits. What do you want me putting in that tzedakah box? And some of you have faith, and you put in your 10% every time you get a check. And that's wonderful. And I hope that you are not doing it, and you're probably not, because some of you, I know your personalities, you're just blessed giving people. Right? Our motivation for that is not, okay, if I put this in, God's going to reward me greatly, right? That's not our motivation. Does God do that? Yes, God promises us that in Micah and other places, but we do it because God deserves the bird and not the feces. We do it because God is worthy of us putting money in there. And we say, God, what would you have me to give? You are worthy of whatever you lay on my heart, right? God, what would you have me do with my time? I'm not going to spend 2 hours watching a movie and then, oh, I'm too tired to really pray tonight. Let me give God 10 minutes. No, God, you are worthy of the first fruits. You are, and we need that concept. So we've got to keep memorizing these verses like John 3:16 and reading the Psalm 18 and so forth. But we have got to also balance that with an understanding that these things are telling us about God's focus on us, not our focus on ourselves. Okay? And we have got to balance it with the verses that remind us, if you love father or mother more than me, or son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me, right? And balance it with verses that remind us, bring God the first fruits. Bring God the perfect offering. Romans 12:1, give your lives, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, right? And then our focus is on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you an amazing thing. An amazing thing, okay? Because if we are a little on the unspiritual side or feeling a little unspiritual, and we go through those things sometimes, it just sounds like this is tough. This is just self-sacrifice. I'm used to eating what I want and doing what I want. And all this self-sacrifice is not ringing with me, okay? But here is what you need to know. That when you focus on the Lord, when you make Him the center of your life, it is only in that that you understand more fully His focus on you, right? When you stop focusing on yourself, you allow yourself to see God's focus on you. And you understand the blessings of the Lord abound far more than how much you can bless yourself. That blessing in that prayer closet with the Spirit of the Lord upon you is far greater than anything you'll ever get from a TV show. Am I saying don't relax, don't have energy? I'm not saying that at all, right? God wants us to enjoy the world. But where is the first fruit? Where is the focus? Is it on self or is it on God? Let your focus be on God, and then you will see God's focus on you. Right, you will get those spiritual blessings, even the monetary blessings, even the physical healing. You will get these things. The more you focus on God, and the more you say, God, I am praising you because you are worthy. That's why worship is so important, right? It takes our eyes off ourselves, right? And I'm careful to pick worship songs. There's a lot out there called worship that's not really worship. It's not necessarily bad music or bad lyrics, but it's not always worship, right? Worship is us focusing on God, right? And so I try to pick songs where it focuses us on God, and that's what worship is. Worship is not some of these other things that's self-focused or describing different things, but it's focus on the greatness of God simply because He's worthy, right? Or giving Him thanks for what He's done. And we focus in on the Lord, and in that it is amazing how much the heavens open for you to see how much God is focused in on you. Lord God Almighty, I pray in Yeshua's name that we would learn a spirituality that is God-focused and not self-focused. I need this. I deserve that. I got to look out for myself. Let God look out for you. Lord, let us learn to let you look out for us as we give you the glory and the honor for no other reason than the fact that you are worthy of it, Lord, because of who you are, because of what you have done. Lord God, you be glorified, you be honored, you be exalted. We will focus in on that, and then we will see wonderful, wonderful things as we realize more and more your love and your focus on us. In Yeshua's name, amen.